That was just a couple weeks ago at our VBS. And it was a great time. We had 113 kids there. 13 to 15 unchurched, which goes back to the truth. We need to get outside of our walls, right? We need to get outside of our walls. We partnered with Freedance, and we had a great time. I mean, if you served in it, we had a blast. It was a great time. But we need to get outside of these walls. We got to get out into our communities, and we have to reach. We have to go. That week, we studied Created by God, Designed for a Purpose. It was a week of being able to talk to these kids about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, how God continues to love you. When we screw up, He loves us. When we fail, He loves us. And it is an amazing pleasure and it's an amazing honor to be able to go and teach that and train that. But sometimes life happens and we get distracted. You ever notice that? Life gets busy. We know God loves us. God loves us. We know that we are designed for a purpose. But life happens and, man, we're distracted. You know, several years ago, back when I was in the trades, we were building a building. It was a daycare center, a 15,000 square foot daycare center, large daycare center. And there was, I don't know, about 88 doors, solid core oak doors. And we had to put what we call a closure on them. A closure is a machine that goes on the door that actually pulls the door shut. Many of you might know that, but maybe some of you don't. And so I had to drill through these doors. And so I'm at door one, door two, door three, door four, door five. Life's going. It's taking forever. I get to like door 70. And this is several days into this job. And at this point, I have drilled through these doors so many times that it's like I could do this in my sleep, I think. But the thing about oak doors is you don't want to destroy it, so you have to be very careful as you push in the drill bit through the door. So what I would do on all these doors is I actually stuck my hand on the other side just to feel the tip of the bit. Just to feel the tip of the bit, because it's not like I'm going to go all the way through. But after 70 doors, you kind of get a little distracted. You kind of take things for granted. So door number 70-something, and I'm like just getting bored out of my mind as this drilling, and I'm going through oak. It's really hard, so it doesn't just go super easy. And my drill bits are wearing out. And I'm pushing hard, pushing hard, pushing hard. My hand's right here, not paying attention. Bam! And the paddle bit, this half-inch paddle bit, went through the webbing of my finger, because I was holding the top like the door like this, and it went right through the webbing of my finger. And man, that hurt. But here's the thing. It could have not happened if I was paying attention. It could have changed if I was not being distracted. Life is like that, guys. The Christian walk is like that. We're going to look, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As we are preparing to read this passage, can everybody read what this sign says? Finish line. That says finish line. That is correct. And Peter, I'm stealing your stand right here, buddy. We're going to put this right here. Here's the finish line. Life, as we will see in this passage, is a race. Now, it's not a race to see who gets there the quickest. It's a race of how we endure. And life is full of crazy circumstances. Crazy circumstances. And we think, oh, I can run the race. But as we're going to see in this passage, sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we have those moments of life where the paddle bit goes through our hand. And we're going, how in the world did that happen? Sometimes it's major things. Sometimes we're in the race and we don't even realize that we're distracted. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, as we just jump into this word, Lord, I pray that you will just work in our hearts. Lord, get me out of the way and let your word speak. We love you. In Jesus' name. As we are jumping into this passage, the very first thing we see there is the word therefore. And from the time I was a child, I was always told, if you see therefore, you have to see what therefore is there for. Right? You ever heard that? If you see therefore, you gotta know why therefore is there for. And so what happens is, if we jump back to chapter 11, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but if you jump back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, it is actually what we call the faith chapter. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are those great cloud of witnesses? Those were men and women and people who had gone on before. You see, part of the race, part of the Christian walk, we got to remember and we got to look back at those who had gone on before. We have our Davids, we have our Pauls, we have our Gideons, we have a Barak. We have different men, different women, like Deborah, different people that have gone before us and have run the race. But the thing about these people is they are normal people like you and me. They screwed up. They failed. There were men and women who had fears. They had doubts. They had concerns. But they are normal people who served an extraordinary God. They were people that said, man, I'm in this race and I have to fix my eyes on Jesus. I have to fix my eyes on God. I have to fix my eyes on my Creator and my Maker. It is just like that in our race today. Greg, can I use you for a minute? Is that okay? I didn't ask beforehand. So come on up here for a second. Yo, man. That's right. All right. This is Greg. Say hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Not you. All right. Imagine Greg is in this race. And there was a lot of runners that had gone before him. And there's a crowd that had gone up before him because, you know, you're not the first in the race, right? So come back here. Stretch out. Right there. Stretch out. Don't stretch too much. That's kind of weird. And he's ready to run, right? So get your race on. Get your running. All right, he's getting his race on. Because there's a finish line, right? Don't go anywhere. You could do the running man right there. Not the running man, but do the running. And we look in this passage, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. In the Christian walk, I have a question for you. What are the things that are hindering your walk? Now, that's different than the sin. In this passage, it just says, because it says, those things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles. So he actually separated those. So as we're looking at this, what things do you have in your life that hinder your walk? Maybe it's things that consume you. If this is your mug, this was in Lost and Found. Just let you know, it's back there. There you go. Hold on, you're running. Keep running. You're running. All of a sudden, but now he's got this thing that's consuming him. It could be work. Not a bad thing, right? But he's running, and he's like, I'm consumed. And, you know, run like you mean it. He's in a race, and he's running. Just a second. Should we take this off and let you run?
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's water in there. He's running this race, and he has this thing that's not bad, but it's consuming him. And all of a sudden, he's realizing, you may not realize it, but I'm realizing for you, that you're in this race, but all of a sudden, you're focusing on this. How hard is it to run the race when we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus, but we're fixing our eyes on other things? They're not bad. They're not things that we have to get rid of in our life, but we're losing the focus. It might be things like work. But it could be things like time. I don't want to give it my time. How many of you all love your time? I enjoy my time. But we're trying to run. And we're focused on our things. But imagine if Noah, as we look back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, what if Noah said this? God, I would build the ark. But man, that just takes so much time. And God, I have another job to do. I have other responsibilities. So God, I pass. You see, Noah was a normal person with normal circumstances, a normal life, who was put in a situation where he had to choose in the moment, do I focus on what God challenged me to do? Do I focus on God? Do I keep my eyes fixed? Or do I focus on everything else around me? Because he's running the race. Not only do we have to question what things do I allow to consume me, but B, what morally neutral things are hurting my walk? What morally neutral things are hurting my walk? If you go back to chapter 11, looking at verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him, the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city, foundation, whose architect and builder was God. In this, morally neutral things are not things that are good or bad. They're just things, like a house. They're morally neutral things that just keep us busy, like friends. Not necessarily good or bad. They're just there. But here's the question. What morally neutral things do we allow in our life to really take our eyes off of Christ? In today's day, it could be Instagram or Facebook, where we spend hours. And guess what? I've been guilty of it. It could be things like television, TV. But are we allowing things to distract us, to pull us away, to keep our eyes off of Christ? Because when we do that, we throw on more baggage in the race of life. It's not too heavy, but it's a little heavy, isn't it? Yeah, but try to run a race with that. About as much as your tool belt. This past month, I had a friend. He went to Arizona. He'd been training for a run, a 50-mile run through the terrain of Arizona. Can you imagine if he decided, I'm going to bring a full backpack, I'm going to bring a bottle, I'm going to take this run, I'm going to run the 50 miles. How far do you think he would have made it? He wouldn't have gotten very far. And here's the thing about the race. We allow things in our life, not even bad things, but we allow things in our life to distract us from the prize. We allow things in our life to distract us from the purpose that we were created for, from the finish line. What things in your life are distracting you. You know, Abraham, it could have been his homeland. It could have been comfort, because he had to leave. It could have been his friends. But the truth is, Abraham had to go out to a land he didn't know where he was going. Can you imagine going to a place you don't know where you are going? I mean, some of us are like, oh, that would be the best road trip ever. Yes, except when you're hauling a bunch of camels and a bunch of family members that are like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not. And yet Abraham fixed his eyes. He fixed his eyes. He said, man, God, I'm fixing my eyes. I'm fixing my eyes. I'm fixing my eyes. Maybe it was, man, really, God? You really want me to do this? You really, this is pulling me away, God? What? When we allow distractions to fill our hearts, to fill our eyes, it isn't long before we're going, whew, I'm tired. And we take a seat in the race. We take, well, I believe in breaks. I do, okay? But how often do we be like, are we like, man, I've run long enough. Listen closely, and I hope this doesn't offend when I say this. God is okay, I believe, with retirement from our jobs, but he never says retire from the ministry of serving him. And too often we have people that say, I will leave it to the younger people. Well, I want to let you know something. The younger people say, well, I'm so busy. I've got basketball. I got lacrosse. I've got the debate team. I've got this team. I've got mechanics. I got whatever. And all of a sudden we look around and people aren't doing the work. People aren't running the race. They're saying, man, I'm tired and I'm too busy. Because we allow ourselves to get busy and exhausted and distracted with things that don't have eternal impact. Now, don't get me wrong. We can have eternal impact in those things if we are keeping our eyes on Jesus. But the truth is, we get so busy in the moment that so often we take our eyes off the finish line. What morally neutral things are you holding on to? What things are you allowing to consume your mind? That maybe you're full of anxiety and you're full of fear. You're feeling overwhelmed. Because when we stand up and run, and we don't give those up, what we do is we take on more baggage in the race of life. But then, as we keep reading in Hebrews chapter 12, not only do we throw off things that hinder, but it says also, let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. You see, looking back at Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, it says he gave up Egypt. He gave up Egypt. And the sin that was there, because sin was there for a season, but he gave it up. How easy it would have been for him to say, you know what, God, I like Egypt, and I like the wealth, and I love what it draws me in. I love the power and the control. It would have been easy for Moses to say, you know what, I love the comfortable beds. It's a lot better than those beds that those Israelites have to sleep in. You know what, I love the job a lot better because the job is a very comfortable living in the house of Pharaoh. But man, God, what your job that you're calling me to, I got to put up with those people? Are you kidding me? He could have done that. And I want to let you know something. In his race, don't fall off the edge there. You're close. In his race, there were people that were nagging.
True? There was pain. There was sorrow. And in those moments, you could have said, God, I can't do it. But he fixed his eyes.
Question for you. What sin do you have a tendency to get stuck in? What is your Egypt? What are the things that literally entice you and pull you in and you're like, ah? Because there are things in our life that are sins that we allow us to pull us in. That we are constantly not getting in and out of, but we are literally just living in it. Because how hard is it to run a race when you're carrying this baggage? It's impossible. But not just that. What sin do I have a tendency to run back to? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, we see a group of people here. It says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea on the dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around for 7 days. Verse 31, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not welcome with those who were disobedient. Looking at that verse 30 there, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around for 7 days. Imagine if the sin that you constantly went back to, you didn't live in it, but you constantly went back to, was pride. I don't know about you, sometimes I do live in pride. I catch myself, I go back to it, I go back to it, I go back to it. Imagine, come down here with me. He is carrying pride with him. He's got the bird, he's got all this stuff, and he's walking around the walls of Jericho. And we're walking around the walls. Hey, Israelites, what are you doing? We're walking. Why? Because God told us to walk. You know you look like an idiot, don't you? Well, God told us to do this. How easy would it have been? Come up there for a second. How easy would it have been to say, you know what? We're done. You see, God tells us, throw off the things. But not just the things that we get stuck in, but the things that we run back to. So often, these are full of stuff. They are, aren't they? So often we have this stuff in our life and we're holding on to it. And then we're sitting there going, I'm running the race, I'm running the race, I'm running the race. And it's no wonder we fail. Because along the path, we have picked up everything that hinders and everything that entangles. Everything that pulls us down. Everything that trips us up. Do you think you're running very many miles against you might fall? You're going to fall at some point. Because it's a tripping hazard. Because you're like, how can I even run like this? And this is what the Christian life looks like in many of our lives. We're grabbing and holding on to these different things. We're letting distraction pull us in every way. And God's saying, look at me. Let go of the distractions. Give them up. Hold on here. Give them up. And he said this, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. You're in this race. Don't let the distractions take over. Don't let the distractions take over. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is not just there. We see that Jesus is the author of our faith.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the author of faith. Jesus is the originator, the trailblazer, the pioneer. He is the inventor of our faith. You understand that? He's the one that designed the race. He designed the way of salvation. He is the one that set the standard. So when we're running the race and we throw off all the stuff, we're throwing it off. Is that a lot easier to run? Way easier. And he did it for 10 minutes. But life is not just 10 minutes. And when we're holding on this stuff, it weighs us down. But when we throw off and say, God, it's yours. We can run the race. God, I'm fixing my eyes on you. You are the author. You designed this race. You designed me. Let me live life to honor you. Let me live life for the purpose that you've created me for. Let me run, fixing my eyes on you. Because not only did he design, not only is he the author, but we read there he is also the perfecter of our faith. That word perfecter can also be used as the completer. He is the finisher. He is the one that when we fix our eyes on him and we have our trust in him, he's the one that not only designed the race of salvation, he's the one that ran it for us by coming and dying on the cross for our sins. So we can throw all the burdens off and say, man, God, I am with you. And at that purpose and at that point, we can run through the finish line knowing that is his work. And that is what often many of us totally lose sight of. We get hooked on distractions instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus. But why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? Not only the author and perfecter, but it says, let's read verse 2 again. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand in the throne of God. He said, it is finished. And that's why we fix our eyes on him. Because not only do we have that great cloud of witnesses that had gone before, but we have a Savior and Messiah, King, who ran the perfect race and said, it's finished. Rest in me. This morning, are you carrying baggage? Are you allowing your mind to be consumed with things that are distracting you from God? Because those things can seem really big. But when we fix our eyes on God, those things kind of fade away. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Those things kind of fade away. They're there sometimes, but we can trust God with those. What morally neutral things are you allowing your life that is hurting your walk? What things do you get stuck in? What kind of sins do you get stuck in? And what things do you run back to? And this is what I want to challenge you with. Throw them off. You weren't created to carry all that and run the race. Let's run well. Let's pray. Father, you are good and you're new every day. And God, so often I know I get caught in distractions. And God, I just ask that you will just, as the distractions are coming, that Lord, let me fix my eyes on you. Because you are the author. You are the finisher. You are the completer of our faith. You have run the race. And you have shown us who you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.